Every person that strives for mastery is temperate, is self-disciplined. In Paul's day, whenever someone was training for an athletic competition, they would train for 10 months, and they would eat a strict diet, and they would not allow anything to interrupt their training or anything to stop their diet. When you think about the Christian, when you think about the child of God, what is it that God has set before you to do? What personal goals has God set before you? What employment goals has he set before you? What ministry goals has he set before you? You're not going to reach them unless you discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today as we continue the introduction to personal discipline, keys to successful Christian living. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the introduction to personal discipline, keys to successful Christian living.
Every person that has a goal and they want to achieve perfection and they want to achieve their goal, he says, is temperate in all things. This word temperate is a very interesting word. It means that you are self-disciplined. Self-discipline. That if a person has a goal, and I like that word, I wish I'd have looked that up in the Greek. I didn't look that up before I stood up here. That word mastery. That seemed like it might, there might be some more preaching behind that word mastery than I'm pulling out of it. But that's there's something to that right there. Everyone that striveth for mastery. Do you want to be the best on your job? Do you want to be the best in your family? Do you want to be the best in your ministry? Not from an egotistical standpoint, but do you want to be the best? Every person that strives for mastery is temperate, is self-disciplined. In Paul's day, whenever someone was training for an athletic competition, they would train for 10 months, and they would eat a strict diet. And they would not allow anything to interrupt their training or anything to stop their diet. When you think about the Christian, when you think about the child of God, what is it that God has set before you to do? What personal goals has God set before you? What employment goals has he set before you? What ministry goals has he set before you? You're not going to reach them unless you discipline yourself. You have to discipline yourself. And so as we look at the spiritual application of this particular verse, the Christian should exercise self-control during times of trials and temptations. This self-control may mean that you have to agonize through a situation. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight. At the end of his life, Paul said, "I have fought the good fight." That word fight comes from the Greek word agonizomai. It means to agonize. Paul said that when you're in this race and that when you're running, there may come some times that you have to agonize. There may be some painful situations that you go through, but you got to find a way to keep on keeping on. You got to find a way to not stop. You got to find a way to don't quit, because if you're going to make it, it's going to be difficult. Nobody said that the road was going to be easy. Nobody said it was going to be a flowery bed of ease, but you've got to discipline yourself. You've got to work through the hard times. You've got to work through the difficult situations. You got to get out there and walk when it's raining. You got to get out there and walk when the sun is shining. You got to get out there and walk when it's hot. You got to get out there and walk when it's cold, like that guy that I was telling you about. Man, I still today, when I go home from church, I'll probably see him walking by my house, because he doesn't let anything affect him. See, too many people want to go through the motions in order. Watch this. Everyone that strives for the mastery goes through the motions. No, you don't go through the motions. You know, there was a group of people that had gone to New York, and they wanted to see this play, My Fair Lady. And they got there late, and all the tickets were sold out. And they didn't want to be embarrassed and go back and say that they went all the way to New York and didn't see the play. So they went out and saw when people left the show, they threw their stubs on the sidewalk. And so they picked up the stubs. And they went into the lobby and they bought a program. And they also brought the soundtrack from the musical. And all the way back, they listened to the soundtrack. And when they saw their friends, they showed their stubs and their programs and they sang the songs and said, what a great time we had. They went through the motions. And they didn't go to the show. Yeah, somebody said they perpetrated. Right? They went through the motions. And a lot of people, you want to go through the motions. Well, let me tell you, if you go through the motions, you're not going to get into the play. You're not going to see the show. You're not going to get what you need. The life application is what? Discipline yourself to do the things that lead to the accomplishment of the goal, even when it is unpleasant. Even when it is unpleasant. The spiritual part, something for your spiritual life, something for your life. The next thing that we see as we look at personal discipline, the key to successful Christian living. You got to strive for objectives that are worthwhile. Strive for objectives that are worthwhile. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In Paul's day, when someone would win an event, they would go stand before the bema seat, which was the judgment seat, and that the person who placed in the event, that they would give them a wreath made out of some kind of laurel plant or some kind of flower. They would take that wreath and they would put it on and be crowned as the victor, be crowned as a winner. But guess what, my brothers and sisters? After a week, 2 weeks, what would happen? The crown would begin to wilt. The crown would begin to wither away. Paul says that they do it for an incorruptible crown. One day, all those Super Bowl trophies, all those Stanley Cup trophies, they're all, if they don't wither away, they're all going to burn up. Just read 1 Peter 3. They're going to fade away. You know, all the things that you've labored for in this life are going to fade away. That's a corruptible crown. Paul says that we don't do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown that does not fade. We have an inheritance that does not fade away. Now, see, in our pursuit of a corruptible crown, we still, see, this is why it's important to have the right perspective on things. Because even when I'm pursuing a corruptible crown, I can go back in my office today. I've got 3 degrees on my wall, bachelor's, a master's, and the doctorate. And each one of those can fade away and mean nothing in the end. Each one of them can just crumble and be thrown in the trash if I haven't done anything with them. If along the way I haven't served God with what I had. If along the way I haven't ministered to somebody with what I have. These are just goals that are corruptible. And the sad thing about it is that if you ask the average young person today why they are getting an education, they would say, so I can get a good job and live a good life. And you know what? That's a corruptible crown. That degree that's sitting on your wall is corruptible. And one day it's going to crumble. Now, you can take that same degree, and say that, yeah, I want to take care of myself. Yeah, I want to get a job that ministers to me and my family, but I also want to use what I have for the glory of God. And by God's grace, I'm going to use what I have wherever He sends me. I'm going to take this and I'm going to use it for His glory. Now that has turned from a corruptible crown to an incorruptible crown. Paul said, don't labor, don't run after something that's going to fade away in a few days. Don't run after something that's going to wither and die. What is the spiritual application? One day, the believer will stand at the bema seat of Christ to receive a reward for service in his kingdom. We should labor to receive the reward that Christ has waiting for us. That there is a reward awaiting you, and you should labor for that reward. What is the life application? Ask the Lord to show you worthwhile goals that you should strive to attain. See, here again, you know, what do we have? The average person, they're not asking God, you know, God, what would you have me? You know, I guarantee you, if you took a survey of the average 12th grader that's getting ready to graduate from high school and going to college, and ask them, what is it that you want to do? And they would tell you. And then you would ask them, have you asked God, is that what he wants you to do? I would really like to know the percentage that would say, yeah, you know, I sought the Lord on this thing. You know, I prayed and fasted. But yet and still, you know, this is one of the most important decisions of your life. You're talking about a career that most of us will follow for the rest of our life, and you don't consult with God about it. You got to ask God, what is it, God, that you would have me to do? I think what many of us are afraid of is that God, we feel that if we got something we want to do, that God is going to tell us something else, and then we don't want to hear something else. We want to hear what we want to hear. Now, again, you know, God could very well be telling you whatever it is on your heart, but the question is, have you sought him? Have you asked him? You know, so many people, now I know I'm getting ready to stop preaching and I'm getting ready to meddling, right? But, you know, a lot of people, you know, they change jobs because it's a better opportunity. I have no problem with that. Only question I have, did you ask God if that's what he wants you to do? Did you seek God on that? And a lot of people will give you that cursory answer, right? Oh, yeah, I pray, you know. No, I'm talking about, have you made it a sincere matter of prayer to go before the Lord and ask him, is this what he would have you to do? And I guarantee you that, again, the average person, you know, has made that decision. Now, that's all right, y'all boo me out, whatever you want to do, throw rotten eggs or whatever. But the average person has made that decision based on the fact that it's a better move and it's more money than the fact that they sought God and God told them that was what they were supposed to do. All right, but that's all right. You know, I don't need, just give me a couple deacons to walk me out afterwards. That's all I need. So Paul, you know, what he's saying, don't strive for a corruptible crown. You know, if you want to have discipline, make sure that you're disciplining yourself for something that's worthwhile. If you're going to discipline yourself, make sure you discipline yourself for something that God wants you to do, some direction that God wants you to go. Make sure you discipline yourself in that area, because I guarantee you, if you discipline yourself according to what he wants you to do, then he'll get you there. You'll make it, and you'll be surprised how you make it and how things work out for you to be able to make it. Next thing, if you want to live a successful Christian life, you got to stay focused at all times. You got to stay focused at all times. Look what Paul says here. He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beateth against the air. This is a powerful concept. You know, we all have seen the boxer warming up, right? You're throwing the punches, backing up, shuffling and all, warming up. In that, how many punches have you landed? Not a one. Not a one. Paul said, I don't want to be a shadow boxer. Let me read it again. I don't know what translation you got, but maybe it's a little bit clearer in another translation. He said, I therefore so run, not uncertainly so fight I, not as one that beats against the air. He said, I don't want to be out here shadow boxing. I don't want to be out here throwing empty punches. Paul said, I want to know that every punch that I throw has an impact. That if I'm going to If God has called me to do something, you know, I want to know if I throw a punch that I'm going to land it right in a spot, a pow, that's going to make a difference, right? That's what Paul is saying. He said that, you know, if I spend time discipling somebody, I want to know that, I've hit the mark. I want to know that I've landed a punch that makes a difference. He said, if I'm involved in the ministry, I want to know that I'm landing a punch. If I'm going to work on my job, I just don't. See, some of us, man, we so frustrated with our jobs that we go there and we don't, you know, we complain about the whole thing. And then, you know, we are out there and the whole time that, you know, we go and we're what? We're shadow boxing. But if I get up every morning and I say, man, I'm going to my job with the intention of landing some punches. Not physical punches, no, no. All right. Not physical punches, right? But I'm going to my job today with the intention that I'm going to be landing some punches, that maybe there might be somebody there that has a murmuring and complaining spirit. I'm going to land a punch by praying for them, you know, whether I pray outwardly or whether I pray inwardly. Maybe there's a situation on the job that nobody else wants to handle. I'm going to land a punch, and I'm going to do it to the glory of God. Maybe there's a situation going on between people on my job. Well, I'm going to land a punch by being a peacemaker. I'm going to land a punch by praying. Paul said that I don't want to be one that fights against the air. So what is he saying? I want to stay focused on what God has for me. I want to be disciplined, and I want to stay focused. If you don't keep before you the thing that God has placed for you to reach, and you let all kind of side fights, shadow fights, you're fighting all these fights because you're not focused on what God wants you to do all day long. And by the time you come home, how many punches did you land? I don't think I landed any, but I sure did shadow box. He said that I want to make sure that every punch that I throw has an impact. In this book, Maintaining the Disciplined Life, on page 23, he says something here. He says, there may be the promising start, but not the discipline required to carry through. Even if by good fortune or pull, the undisciplined man should reach the position of power, he cannot maintain it, for he is inwardly unprepared. He collapses under the weight of responsibility and the pressure and complexity of detail. He lacks the strength of leadership, the fullness of knowledge, the soundness of judgment, which can only be built up bit by bit through years of painstaking toil. That you've got to learn how to stay focused and deal with all the distractions that are going to come your way. There's a lot of things. I guarantee you, if you say, today, I'm going to eat right, and I'm not going to eat any fast food, that you're going to go home, and there's going to be a commercial. McDonald's is bringing a McRib back. Yeah! I guarantee you there's going to be something to distract you. As soon as you make up your mind that you're going to do something, as soon as you make up your mind you're going to be disciplined, something will come along the way. But you can't let it distract you. You can't be shadow boxing. You got to be landing punches. And in order for you to land punches, you got to stay focused. And then the final thing, if you're going to live a disciplined life, you've got to make any sacrifices needed to finish the task. You've got to make any sacrifices needed to finish the task. Verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The first thing that Paul says, he says that I beat under my body. Literally, in the Greek, what he's saying is that I hit myself under the eye. He said, I give myself a black eye. Now, spiritually, he's saying that. He's not saying, again, I have to qualify things. He's not saying physically. He's saying spiritually, that I beat myself under the eye. I literally give myself a black eye. And you know the image, now I don't know if this is right or not, but in the image in my mind that I take away with this is that here you got this old man, right? You got this old nature that's trying to do right. Rise up, right? And where is it? It's rising up, and it's rising up, and eventually it's going to get where? To your head, right? And so in my mind, what I see, Paul, the old man, because you go back and read, what is that, Romans chapter 7, and you see the struggle that he had with the old man. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Oh, who should deliver me from his body? You know, he had that struggle, right? So this old man is rising up, right? That's the undisciplined person. The undisciplined Bill Glaze, right, is rising up. And Paul says, when you see the undisciplined person, when you said that, you know, I'm not going to drink sodas anymore, and I go get a Mountain Dew, I get ready to get a Mountain Dew, right? That old nature is rising. Boom. He said, I beat it down. I beat it down until it calms and it's not speaking to me anymore. But if we just let it rise up, then we give into it. He says that I beat myself under the eye. Saints, we need to learn how to do that. We need to learn how, when that old undisciplined nature is rising up in us, that we learn how to subdue it and put it back down. Because if you don't, it'll take control. Just look at people who let the natural person just take over. You know, that's why we see murders, right? Somebody just couldn't control themselves. They just let the old person take over. That's why people get hooked on pornography. Why? Because they just let that old person just take over and dominate. You got to beat it down. You got to subdue it. And Paul says that if I'm going to live a disciplined life, that I've got to beat down that old man. And the reason that he did it, he said that, I beat it down, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway means to be unapproved. That when I stand before God, now again, it's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about being disqualified for what God has called us to do. Being disqualified for the reward that awaits us in heaven. That if we don't discipline ourselves, if we just let the old man rise up and we give in to every whim and desire of the old man and we don't beat it down, then what's going to happen? We're going to be disapproved. We're going to be set on a shelf. That's what Paul says, a castaway. I don't want to be disapproved and then sat over here on the shelf. I want to be in the game. I want to be on the battlefield. I want to be serving God. I don't want to be disapproved. I don't want to be sat on the shelf. So when we look at the spiritual application, we see here the spiritual application is that you should discipline yourself to avoid becoming disqualified for the work of the Lord. And then this life application is that you need to sacrificially work through all hindrances that would cause you to stop pursuing your goal. And this is when we talk about personal discipline. These are things that has to be in the life of every child of God, or you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. If, again, I go back to what I said in the beginning of the message, that at the heart of the word discipline is disciple. And Christ has called us to be disciples. He has called us to be followers of the cross. And if we are not disciplined, it's going to be very hard to do that. The discipline of life.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of A Commitment to Consistency from our series on personal discipline. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, personal discipline, keys to successful Christian living, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, Keys to Successful Christian Living. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. Anchored in Jesus comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which reminds us that you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.